Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Either we were perfectly timed, or Minna's been vamping, waiting for us to show up. How about that? It's good to be in worship this morning and to offer praise and thanksgiving to our God for all that He has done for us. There were some announcements, as you saw on the screen, and I draw them to your attention. Perhaps the most significant, from the minister's point of view anyway, is we are looking at the Bible study for the fall starting shortly, and if you're interested in being part of the Bible study on the Gospel of John, speak to me about when you might be able to be available and your interest. And the other important thing is that this afternoon at 3:30, for you, 3 o'clock for me, the presbytery meets a half hour beforehand. But at 3:30 this afternoon at St. Paul's Presbyterian Church in Cane Town, which is just north of Mallorytown-ish, if you're not necessarily familiar with that area of the world, we will be there to induct the Reverend Marianne Emig Carr as the minister of St. Paul's Presbyterian Church, Cane Town, which means that Cane Town and First in Brockville have now become part of a 2-point charge. And so if you don't like the preaching here this morning, go to Cane Town this afternoon. I understand they have a great preacher there, some guy by the name of Adams. No rest for the wicked, let me tell you. So I'll be preaching there this afternoon as well. And if you have nothing else to do and would like to join us in Cane Town for this celebration of new ministry in our sister congregation, they would be pleased to have you. And finally, just a note that we're getting back to normal slowly but surely. The choir is with us. A great weight on your shoulders today, Michelle. We also have coffee at the back this morning. So we are restarting the coffee hour, so please do plan to come and spend a little bit of time with us. It's quite a bit scaled back from what it used to be, but as we ease our way back in, there is at least a little bit of social time at the end of worship. And this morning's elder host for the coffee hour is Brenda Aikman. As we enter God's presence, we light the Christ candle to be for us a visible reminder that Christ is the head of the church and that we seek to walk in His light and in His ways in all that we do. The call to worship this morning is a responsive call, and it will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the house of the Lord this morning. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in God, and He will act.
The Lord will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday.
Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security.
We delight in the Lord, who gives to us the desires of our heart.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of eternity, Jesus Christ taught us that the hungry are blessed, the meek will inherit the earth. Help us to live each day with our eyes and hearts fixed on eternity, trusting that in you daybreak will come and night will flee away, and all will be made right and just. In this hour of worship, draw us nearer to your kingdom goals. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. It's found at number 407 in your book of praise, or it will appear before you on the screens. Let us sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated. God invites his faithful people to return to the Lord, and the Lord will return to us. Before you can return, however, we must first realize how far we have wandered from God's plans for our lives and for the world that God has created. Trusting in God's promises, then, let us confess our sins as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screen. Compassionate God, have mercy upon us. Unfaithfully, we have placed other gods before you when we could have loved you with all our hearts. We chose to love the gods of selfishness when we could have loved you with all our souls. We let the gods of self-righteousness consume us when we could have loved you with all our minds. We permitted the gods of prejudice to influence our thinking. Cleanse us, O God, from our sins. Let them not have dominion over us, so that our stewardship will affirm your loving presence in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. Do not weep. Do not grieve. For God's joy is your strength, and the redemption of Jesus Christ is your salvation. Go in peace and sin no more. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come this morning in worship, the question that I pose to you this morning, and I want you to think about as we listen to our readings this morning and prepare our hearts for the meditation, is this one simple question. What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to receive a blessing? Each of us, we believe, or I hope we believe, has been blessed by God in some way or another. And so we're going to talk a little bit about blessings in one particular way this morning, but writ large we focus this morning on the idea of being blessed. So what does it mean to be blessed? What do we receive when we receive God's blessing? Some of those things are going to become a little bit more apparent, and there's a little object lesson in the sermon this morning, so I'm going to save the object, the lesson part of this morning's meditation for a little while, but it will come along. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your Spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
The first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, chapter 3, reading verses 8 to 12. Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the locust for you so that it will not destroy the produce of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not be barren, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will count you happy, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. And reading responsively from the Old Testament, Book of Psalms, chapter 37, reading verses 1 to 7 and 16 to 18. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers.
For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security.
Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act.
He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday.
Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices.
Better is a little than the righteous person has, than the abundance of many wicked.
For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous.
The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will abide forever.
And from the New Testament, Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 6, reading verses 2 to 10. Teach and urge these duties. Whoever teaches otherwise and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that is in accordance with godliness is conceited, understanding nothing and has a morbid craving for controversy and for disputes about words. From these come envy, dissension, slander, base suspicions, and wrangling among those who are depraved in mind and bereft of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. And from the Gospel, the New Testament, reading from Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on."
I'm just going to say it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for His word to us. Our hymn is found in your book at number 21, or will appear before you on the screen. It is the metrical psalm for the metrical setting of the psalm that we have read in worship this morning. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord. The words of the hymn will appear before you.
Thank you.
called it All God's People Give. But I think I'd like to call it this morning All God's People Share. Just a little emendation. It's close to the same. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The people you remember. This past week, as I've been pondering this morning's sermon, I thought of Ray. And sometimes we talk about the communion of the saints in the church, right? And it's those who have gone before us in the faith, those who are living, and those who have died. Ray, I don't know the fate of Ray these days. The chances are good he might still be living, but he would be older now than he was 25 years ago. But 25 years ago, as I met Ray, he was a member of a three-point charge that I served. And on one Sunday, after I had preached a sermon on stewardship and tithing, he greeted me at the door with these words. So are all ministers preaching about stewardship this week? Now, I was just a little confused because I thought he was the only minister, I was the only minister that he was listening to. But he went on to explain that he had watched Robert Schuller and the Hour of Power the night before, and that no less a preacher than Robert Schuller, the minister of the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, had preached a sermon on stewardship. And Ray told me about Schuller's sermon. Schuller's sermon included an illustration about 10 oranges. Just checking the screen to make sure my 10 oranges show up. They're 10 clementines, because that's what was in the fridge this morning. 10 oranges. Now, you see, sometimes back then, I would watch Robert Schuller on a Sunday afternoon once I was done of my own three services of preaching. I had to warn Colleen that she could not have an orange for breakfast this morning, or my entire sermon was shot. Sometimes I would rush home to see Schuller and to listen to his message of the day. And in this sermon that he preached, which I rushed home to hear after Ray had told me about it, Dr. Schuller noted that everything that we have is a gift from God. And it was symbolized by 10 oranges. This is the blessing that God has given to you. God gives us 10 oranges to have and to enjoy. But God asks that you use one of the oranges for the building of the kingdom of God, to support your church, to support the mission work that is overseas. And being as Dr. Schuller is in the United States, where the social safety net is not quite that we enjoy here in Canada, Dr. Schuller also encouraged his congregation to take a further orange to support the community through charitable organizations and good works. God blesses you with 10 oranges. All of these oranges you are going to use in some way or another. But God asks you to take 2 of these oranges and to bless the world. And when all of this good work is done and is symbolized by those 2 oranges, you are still blessed. Right? You still have 8 oranges. I could see why the sermon stuck in Ray's head. It was good. It was engaging. It had something that was tangible. It was perfect. And it indeed was a good sermon. It's lasted in my mind for 25 years. So, must have worked. And I was thinking about this sermon this past week because one of the words that appears in that reading that Phyllis just read for us from 1 Timothy stuck in my mind. Here again is the passage. Paul writes to Timothy, of course there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into this world so that we can take nothing from it. But while we're here, we're blessed with 8 oranges. Did you hear the word, though, that stuck in my mind? That one word? What word stood out to you? The word that drew my attention as I was reading this text and rereading it all week is this word. Contentment. There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. Now the background to Paul's letter to Timothy is that Timothy was a young church leader who Paul had known for many years. Perhaps he's known Timothy his entire life. We know that Paul knows Timothy, has known Timothy for a long time because Paul makes reference in the letter also to Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother. And now Paul is instructing Timothy in the ways of faith. And here Paul encourages Timothy in faithfulness and contentment. One might even argue that Paul recognizes that trying to be godly alone is not enough. Because he goes on to say in that text, to speak in that text, about people who are godly but then seek wealth and riches. So maybe godliness alone is not enough. But great good can be found in godliness and contentment. What is contentment? And why is contentment so important, Paul might argue, for our life of faith? Sometimes it's easier to define something by what it's not, right? We live in a world where we struggle and strive for everything that we have. How can we get the most out of life is kind of a dominant doctrine in our society. We live in a world that promotes the message that you should have more and that everything that I have is mine. Forget these two oranges. Everything is mine. Everything should be bigger or better or shinier or newer. These are the buzzwords of our society, but there is no contentment in that message, is there? To quote the Rolling Stones, as from time to time I am wont to do, we can't get no satisfaction in this world because we live in a world that in which that needs us to need more. Right? When you listen to economists and people on investment, it's all about growth. And if your company hasn't shown growth, it's failed in its basic reason for being, they would argue. We live in a world that needs us to need more so that companies can grow, so that others become rich. And maybe we do too. But at the end of the day, for those who want to live a life of faith, it's not about getting more. It's about recognizing that God has already blessed us with good things. And that we are content. To receive God's blessings as a gift, unearned and free, and to use God's gifts in the ways that God intends, to live lives in the way that God intended. Content. These two oranges that we use to bless other people are about the people who are not about the people who receive the blessing. They're about us. God could just as easily have given these two oranges directly to the people that he wants us to help. Could he not? God could have immediately said, I'm going to give to you 8 oranges. And to these other people, I will give 2. But that's not what God did. God blessed you with those 2 oranges so that you could learn contentment, so that you can learn how to live life with an open hand, sharing God's good gifts with others, seeing the blessing of others as a good thing. And the vehicle for that blessing that God calls us to be a part of is the church. That is why our friend of the month of September, and he's actually going to come with us into September for a little while too, Reverend Porter, from his little tract, devotes probably the most that he's written on any one of the 10 characteristics. We're not going to look at all 10 separately. It's not a 10-week series. But he has 10. And the one that he writes on the most is giving financially to your church. As we recognized last week, it's not a new thing. This discussion, this challenge from time to time to encourage giving in churches. It's been with us as long as the church has been. If you listen carefully to the reading from Malachi that Phyllis read, which is a really interesting reading. If you didn't catch it, go back and read it this afternoon if you feel like feeling a little bit uncomfortable. But Malachi 3, God challenges the children of God by saying, why are you robbing from me? And the nexus of their people robbing from God is these 2 oranges. The tithes and the offerings that God has given to them so that they can care for other people. Reverend Porter recognized. Jesus recognizes in our gospel lesson. Malachi recognizes in our reading for this morning that we live in a society in which gaining is more than giving. And the church, now perhaps even more than in the time in which Reverend Porter, our friend, wrote this little tract, occupies a rare place in our society. One in which we declare that it is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. One in which ego is removed from our actions so that we can be servants and not masters to be served. Through this congregation, St. John's, we cultivate faith as we gather and worship in week and each week, and as we gather and study around God's Word, as we seek to reach out into agencies in our community to support those who are in need and to lift up those who are oppressed. And then we work and we advocate to make the kingdom a reality. Giving our all for the reconciliation of the world, it is a very Christ-like thing to do. And we also seek to achieve these kingdom goals as we participate in other acts of mission. For us as Presbyterians, there's an important line on your, I know we've mostly gotten rid of our offering envelopes because of COVID. But there is an important line on that offering envelope. It says, Presbyterians sharing. Presbyterian sharing is the mission line of our church. Through Presbyterian sharing, we accomplish many things, much more than we could do on our own, because we are yoked together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in the Presbyterian Church across this country to work together. Through Presbyterian Sharing, we train ministers for service, both in our three colleges here in Canada, but also in seminaries in other places around the world. We work with First Nations people and those who live in boarding houses because we give to Presbyterian Sharing. We encourage new congregations. We dream new opportunities for ministry. We support existing congregations to re-envision what it means to be the church because of your gifts to Presbyterian Sharing. So let us then be content. Let us be content in our godliness, knowing that we brought nothing into this world and that we can take nothing from it. And yet, God has blessed us with a wonderful blessing and enough to share, that we might honor God's name with the great gain that we accomplish by simply taking the gifts that we have received and using them for His glory. Thanks be to God for His many gifts and blessings to us. Amen. Let us lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we bless you for all your many gifts to us. We return these gifts as a token of our gratitude, longing for the conviction and strength to offer our whole lives to your service. We pray especially today for your blessing on the work of Presbyterians Sharing, for whom these gifts are designated. We give you thanks that we can share in this work across Canada and around the world, providing your guidance, hope, and spirit-filled inspiration throughout the world. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, we give you thanks for the many good gifts that you give to your church. You are always doing new things among us. We pray for those who face new things today, new jobs, new circumstances, new relationships, new family. All good things, but in their newness they can be frightening and unfamiliar. Give us a sense of excitement as we move into your hopeful future, and may we embrace the new things that you reveal to us. In your church, we are grateful for those who hear your call and who start new things, who form new communities of faith, who sense your leading and take chances of faith to follow where you will lead. Strengthen your people through programs in the church that nurture new ways of reaching out and sharing your good news and how your hope takes shape in our world. For all who work for justice and righteousness, we pray. For all who face injustice and oppression, we pray. You promise to be present in our suffering. And so we humbly ask that you will reveal yourself to your servants so that they might have comfort and strength. We are grateful for those who call us to lead more faithful lives. We pray for people in the church who work for justice and for healing, for reconciliation, and those who help our communities reflect your inclusive grace. Guide us into ways that recognize and realize all people's gifts for ministry and service in the world. We pray this day for those who are grieving and those who are ill. We pray for those facing broken relationships and those who are suffering or going through difficult times. Through your church and your Spirit, provide comfort to them, lifting them up and caring for them with grace and mercy. And on this day, we are especially mindful of all our sister congregations in Atlantic Canada who are not meeting because of the devastation caused by Hurricane Fiona. For all those who have lost property and possessions, for all those who are busy with cleanup on this day, and for all those who face days still to come without electricity and the common comfort that we all take for granted, we pray. When they feel overwhelmed, may they sense your abiding presence that walks among the waves and stills the storms of our lives. In one voice, we pray together in the manner that Jesus taught us for your kingdom coming. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn will appear before you on the screen. It is the hymn, Simply Trusting Every Day, and it can also be found at number 689 in your Book of Praise.
Trusting Jesus, not in
And just a reminder before the benediction that next Sunday will be World Communion Sunday, so we will be celebrating the sacrament of communion in worship next Sunday. For those who are shut in and cannot make it out, we do have the pre-filled communion cups that can be delivered to you. For those who normally receive them, if you're tuned in, they are prepared for you. But if you're someone who hasn't gotten them in the past, give us a call here at the church and we will ensure that elements are delivered. And now let us go out into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.